Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
We're just praying in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you will reveal to us, empower us, Lord, to do your work. And if anybody is not a part of the body of Christ that wants to be a part of the body, may, Lord, your power enable them to say yes in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just love you, Lord. We're devoted to you, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's pop something on the screen here. You can't really see that, can you? Recruited by God or Satan to fight in this war, right? Amen. And then I thought about how, if we are recruited by God, that we are called laborers for the harvest. Amen? And then I thought about how the Bible says that the laborers or the workers are few. In other words, there is a shortage. Somebody say shortage. There's a shortage of workers in God's kingdom. And then I thought about how the great work and ministry that we're doing here at Southside. And I thought about the recent training that we've just undergone to make this church, somebody say this church, an evangelistic center. And so the Lord says, entitle the message, Operation Workforce Expansion. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the title of the message? Now, I could say, okay, your homework is, we're going to end the sermon right now, your homework is write a sermon for that title. Can you do that? Can you do that? Operation Workforce Expansion. Expanding the workforce for the kingdom of God. What if you were to write a sermon under that title? What would it be? Amen? Amen. I tell you, I'll make it easy for you. I'm going to start this sermon. You're going to finish it. I'm not going to finish everything. You have the handouts? Everybody got the handouts? All right. Turn to the page where it says how to increase the workforce in the church. See that right there? How to increase the workforce in the church. And our key text is Matthew 9, 36 through 38. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. And we're just going to get started with this, and we're going to finish it another time. But want us to get started, and then you put an ending to it. And I'm going to ask you for that ending. Amen? Because I'm going to come back, and I'm going to finish it. Now I'm going to be interested in what you put to finish it. Amen? So don't be surprised next time I get up here if there's a mic right in front of your face to ask you what's the ending of your sermon. Because I'm going to be coming to you. Amen. All right, all right. What text did I say? Matthew 9, 36 through 38. It says there that when Jesus saw the multitudes. Powerful text, isn't it? When Jesus saw the multitudes, what happened? He was moved with what, everybody? Compassion on them. Because why? They fainted and were scattered abroad. like sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers or workers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth, what everybody? Laborers or workers into, what everybody? Not just the harvest, but whose harvest? His harvest. I want us to do something here at Southside. I'm just going to pause in this sermon and do it. If I had a choice between a young person holding... Now, in front of you, you have a list of some words. And it's important when you read a passage of Scripture, you understand what the words mean. Amen? Because the Scriptures and the passages are made up with words. And when you look at the words, you see there, and I've kind of highlighted a few words. And the first word is what, everybody? What is it? Compassion. The second word is fainted. Third word is scattered. Fourth, few. The fifth, pray. The sixth, send. And the seventh, laborers. The reason why I highlighted these words is because they have a greater meaning than what the English word portrays. That when we understand those meanings and we go by what the text says, we'll actually have a greater force in putting this text to practice. Does that make sense? Understanding the words. And what I've actually done, I've actually went back and looked at the Greek word and the literal meaning of the Greek word. And then I went and I've included some of those there on the in the handout to get us a better grasp on this particular text. So that I believe when we have a better grasp on what these words mean, to understand what the text means, we'll have a better grasp on how to increase the workforce in our church. Amen? So let's look at it briefly. I'm just going to probably just look at a few of them, and then we're going to close. Compassion. The literal meaning there is bowels of yearnings. Have you ever felt for something so bad that you felt it in your gut? Yeah. That's the compassion that he had. He was a gut-felt compassion. Another word for that is what, everybody? Empathy. Okay? What is empathy? It sounds like sympathy, but it's different from sympathy. Empathy is more than sympathy. Empathy, is the action or the ability of understanding or becoming aware or being aware or being sensitive to, coupled with imaginatively experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another person. Right? So in other words, if my wife says, I just stumped my little toe. Okay? If I'm having empathy towards her, it's more than just feeling sorry for her. Empathy means I will take the time to imagine her stumping her toe, and then I would imagine the pain that it caused after she stumped her toe. Amen? All right? And I was like, ooh, ouch. Okay, that's empathy. Empathy says you want to do something about it. Sympathy says, you stumped your toe. I'm sorry about that. Hope you feel better. And we just move on. God wants us to have more than just sympathy. He wants us to have compassion. All right? And I looked at the word compassion. And it is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. You got that? Jesus had compassion, didn't he? He had compassion. Compassion is the opposite of indifference. Compassion is the opposite of being unconcerned. Amen? Being aloof. Jesus had compassion. Another key word there when he says that he had compassion on them because they were what? Fainted. I looked at that word and I says, wow. It means there that they were weary and they were lacking strength and vigor. Okay? But I actually looked at that word and the meaning of the word was as if somebody was tied up for a long time and then suddenly loosed. Imagine that. Somebody who's been tied up for a very long time, let's say several days, even several weeks, tied up, hand and feet, immobile for several weeks, and then suddenly just untied. Imagine how that person would move. Imagine how that person feels. That's what the word faint means. Because the literal translation is when it says because they were faint, the literal translation is best translated in our English words, having been out loosed. That's the literal translation. And then the word scattered is actually having been tossed. That's what the literal translation is. So in other words, they looked as though they were like individuals who were just untied, who've been tied up for several weeks, and just walking and crawling and moving like a person being tied up for several weeks. And then they also looked like individuals who were just tossed, having been tossed. And the word here means having been tossed on a garbage heap. As if, how many of you have seen a garbage heap? You drive by and you see where all the trucks come and they dump the garbage on the garbage heap. Well, Jesus says when he looked on the people, it was as if they were just tossed, just been flung, thrown. And spiritually, somebody say spiritually. Spiritually, saints, God wants us to have eyes. Come on now, what did I say? God wants us to have eyes where we can look in the community and we can see truly, spiritually, there are people out there who are faint. People out there who are just like being tossed on a garbage heap. This is where I'm going to cut the sermon. I'm going to conclude now. We're going to do the rest later on. Here's my concluding paragraph. All the problems, as a matter of fact, I think you got it, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, there it is. We're going to read that together. This is the conclusion. You see that right there with the capital A-L-L in bold? You see that? All the problems that we have in the church are directly or indirectly a result of a shortage of workers. I'm going to let that one sink in for a little bit. Amen? Let it sink in. I'm a person who studies. I'm a person who attends seminars for the church. I will spend the rest of my life doing that. I study in how to make this church more effective. Amen? That's what I do. We are what, everybody? We are taxed to the max. Do you agree? We need more reaping workers in the form of what? Leaders, teachers, and helpers who are what? Diverse in age, gender, race, culture, etc. All right? Now let me pause there. The problem is not with God. Okay? The problem is not with God. Let me give you an example. God has sent a lot of professionally qualified and professionally prepared individuals to this church in the last 10 years. I don't know what he did before. But the kinds of individuals that God has sent to this church, churches normally will have to hire those individuals. Are you with me, church? Okay? And he sent them here. I'm going to let you answer this one. What difference has it made? And in case you don't know the answer, just look either on your left or your right, in front of you or behind you, at that empty seat. And I ask you the same thing. What difference has it made? All right, I'm going to put somebody on the spot right now. Won't you stand up, Doc? This is an example of someone that God has sent who has been professionally. As a matter of fact, I can leave tomorrow. He can assume the position of pastoring, and you all won't miss a beat. Did you get that? But he didn't come here as a pastor. He came here as a physician. And he's not the first that God has sent to this church. Thank you, preacher. What difference has it made? What difference has it made if we just take that person and try to pull them into our different factions? What difference does it make if we try to use that person to against another person? If God called Tim in and God ordained and announced that Timmy at 11 years old got to pastor this church, with all the people in this church, with all the gifts in this church, we have enough to make this church successful. Where that this time next year, under his leadership, that if everybody was to work according to the gifts that God has given you, according to the passion that God has given you, and you would recognize it, you would acknowledge it, and you would give God the glory for it, these seats will not be empty under an 11-year-old. But even if Jesus was to put aside his heavenly, sanctuary, priestly robe and come down to Southside, and we continue to operate the way we're operating, not even the ministry of Jesus will fill these pews. And if by chance, sometime in the future, there is a pastor that comes and we still operate with the same attitude, but he comes with a personality that you like. Yes. These pews may be filled for a while, but as soon as he leaves, those pews will be empty again. Which tells me, who was that for? The church ought to work that no matter who comes and go as pastor of this church, as long as you says, this is the passion God has given me, This is the burning desire that I have for the kingdom of God. And these are the gifts that I have. Passion in one hand, gifts in another hand. And I'm utilizing the two under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Anytime a church does that and members of a church done that, pastors could come and go. Church can be without a pastor. I don't care for how long. People will still be coming asking, what must I do to be saved? That is gospel. And some of us need to grow up, and stop serving based on who's leading. You're dishonoring God because He is the leader. He's the head. See, if you're going to complain about what the hand is doing and you're going to spite the head because of the hand, and you're part of the same body, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. My prayer first for me, I would get it. I'm not above you. I'm a human being. I want to get it. It's possible for me to preach this message and still not adhere to it. Amen. My prayer is for you as well as your pastor, your shepherd, is that you will get it. Amen. We're part of this body by the grace of God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being so patient, so kind. Thank you for being so gracious. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with us. Thank you, Father God, for not seeing us as we are, but seeing us as Jesus is, and everything we will be through Christ before we either die or before Jesus comes. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that we've been called and chosen to be a part of the army here at Southside Seventh Adventist Church in Bakersfield, California. Thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. And no matter what kind of backgrounds we have had, what kind of training we have had, what kind of exposure we have had, what kind of pain we have endured, what kind of abuse that has been heaped upon us, no matter what, when we come to the fruit of the cross, thank you that we all find our wholeness and our new identity in Jesus Christ. And even though we must work through some of the scars and the pains of life, that we can still find that strength. And like Paul say, that your grace is sufficient for me, that your strength is made perfect even in my pain. Thank you, God. And I just ask, Father God, that which you have ordained to bless your people, that you will bless us right now. That which you have ordained, O God, to empower your people so that we can rise up above the circumstances of time and environment and the age that we live in, to rise above the darkness that is in this world, the spiritual darkness. Whatever you have, O God, ordained for us as a people, Lord, give it to us now. So that, Lord, we can rise up like mighty soldiers of Christ, clothed in the armor of God, fighting not against each other, not against those of our household, not against even our spouses or our exes, oh God, but that we are fighting the fight of faith. Fighting, oh God, fighting that fight that has already been won. Fighting that fight, Father God, more for ourselves than we are for anybody else. So we can be clothed in the truth, clothed in righteousness, clothed, oh God, with the gospel of peace, clothed, God, with faith, clothed with salvation, clothed with the Holy Spirit, coupled with the Word of God. We are mighty soldiers for you, and we will work, we will live, we will eat, we will play, we will shop, We will spend. We will buy. We will sell. We will conversate. We will relate. We will do all of this, even our sleeping and our waking up, based on the fact that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Battle ready. Operation. Workforce. Expansion for the kingdom of God. Lord of the harvest, thank you for your deep, yearning compassion. Thank you for sending me to work for your harvest. I want to care like Jesus cared and love like Jesus loved. The harvest of people needing you is very huge. The amount of workers are puny in comparison. Lord of the harvest, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, please send out spirit-filled workers immediately into your harvest. Pluck them up, eject them from wherever they are. Do whatever it takes to get them here. As you promised, send reaping workers who are teachable and who will pass on to others what they know. Lord, this is a desperate situation. Untold numbers of people of the harvest are lost and hurting. I see them every day. They have been tossed and driven by the restless seas of life. Oh Lord, please send the workers for your harvest. You are the supreme Lord of the harvest. You are full of mercy and grace. I believe you have heard my petition. Because of your word, I believe, claim, and declare that many reapers will be sent to your harvest. I'm expecting a huge reaping of your harvest. Thank you, Father, for making me your co-laborer of the harvest. Keep me working for your harvest. The kingdom, power, and glory belongs to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.